Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly O'Horo, and this is Adaptable Behavior Explained. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on Adaptable. I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to talk about the fascinating world of the Enneagram assessment. Now, I want to make sure you understand this is not like a valid research assessment, but it is really darn accurate anecdotally because I've given it to so many people and it really does seem to be pretty spot on. I love this assessment because it's an accessible way to get an overview of personality propensities with people. We'll cover the 9 personality types and the healthy aspects of those types, as well as opportunities for growth and some ideas about how to achieve more balance if you fall into one of these categories, and perhaps some of the less favorable adaptations that you've developed in this personality type. If you find this topic interesting or useful, please like and share and maybe subscribe if you want to see more of this content so that I can bring more of what you're interested to you. So the Enneagram is a powerful tool for self-discovery and personal growth. It offers insights into our core motivations, our fears, our behaviors. And at the root of it, the Enneagram consists of 9 distinct personality types. Each has its own unique traits and tendencies. And this assessment, it's believed to have ancient roots, blending spiritual traditions, psychology, and philosophy. It became popularized in the 70s in the U.S., and it's widely used for personal growth. Laypersons can read the outcomes without needing a psychologist to help you interpret the information. But it's also used in psychology and spirituality. Many churches or religions offer these to help people better understand, you know, the how and why of their personalities. And it creates a lot of good conversation. When we know more about our personality dynamics, we have more self-awareness. We can have more insights into how we show up in relationships compared to others. So type 1 is known as the perfectionist or the reformer. This person is characterized by principled nature, a sense of responsibility, and kind of a pursuit for perfection. Now, I want to make sure that all of you understand that, one, there is no such thing as perfection. And when perfection is driving, it's actually a bit of a shame shield. And so we want to make sure we understand that the reformer might be a better way to call this type. So healthy aspects of a type 1 or a reformer include integrity. They possess a strong sense of integrity, moral values. They adhere to principles and honesty, fairness and justice in their actions and in their decisions. It guides them in making ethical choices and helps them to uphold their beliefs. So some traits that are common for someone with a 1 or a reformer is their commitment to excellence. They demonstrate a commitment to excellence in all areas of their life. They strive to achieve high standards of performance and quality in their work and in their relationships, as well as in their personal endeavors. This can be reflected in their dedication to self-improvement and growth. They have desire for positive change. They genuinely want to make positive contributions to society and affect meaningful change in the world. They're driven by a sense of duty and responsibility towards others, and they have a vision of creating a better future for themselves and for future generations. So someone who's a reformer, when they're operating from an unhealthy mindset, they might experience some rigidity. They might be overly rigid for kind of dogmatic beliefs and behaviors, and they perhaps can be really strict with their own standards or expectations and impose them on others, which can lead to conflict or resistance from people who feel constrained or judged by their inflexibility. They can be critical or judgmental, so they might engage in harsh self-criticism and judgmental attitudes towards both self and others. They hold themselves to such a high expectation and often unrealistic standards of that perfection for others. And then it leaves them feeling disappointed or resentful when their expectations aren't met. And this can erode self-esteem and it can strain relationships. Living like this can create a lot of anxiety and stress and create undue disturbance in their nervous systems because of their own standards of excellence and need to fulfill obligations and responsibilities. It can lead to overwhelm and burnout and exhaustion. So there's challenges with the rigidity and the critical judgment because it can lead to that perfectionism, which is, like I said before, a shame shield. And when we're in perfectionism, we aren't able to have, satisfaction or joy in our achievements because we're always thinking, what's next? What's next? So there's a lot of underlying inadequacy or failure that can come up with that perfectionism. Someone in an unhealthy mindset can have control issues, exhibiting behaviors of micromanagement or wanting to have order and conformity in their environment, and they can be resistant of change or deviation from plans and have some inflexibility. This can lead to mistrust in collaborative experiences with others. So it can also create self-doubt. When they grapple with self-doubt and insecurity about worth or capabilities, then they might be seeking validation or reassurance from external sources to validate their sense of okayness or worth or competence. And this can create a cycle of anxiety and more internal self-criticism. So in order to cultivate a greater sense of compassion for this personality type, they could benefit from self-reflection, regular introspection, examining beliefs and values, and discerning whether they're serving their well-being or contributing to feelings of rigidity or self-criticism, allowing for more flexibility. Mindfulness practices are great for someone who's struggling with this because they can learn to have a sense of less internal judgment and letting go of expectations and recognizing a sense of inner calm. Healthy boundaries are really important to establish to create some balance for someone struggling with this because recognizing your own needs and limitations while also respecting autonomy and boundaries of others helps to improve relationships. So some things to keep in mind for someone who's a reformer or perfectionist is have clear communication regarding expectations and standards to relate with them. A supportive environment where they feel valued for their efforts and maybe lots of words of affirmation to give them the feedback that what they're doing is working for you. And constructive feedback delivered in a respectful manner because they value honesty and integrity in all of their interactions. So now we're going to talk about type two, which is referred to as the helper or the giver. This person is characterized by their caring and empathetic nature. They find fulfillment in providing support and assistance to others. When they're healthy, they have aspects of compassion, genuine concern, empathy for others. Often they go out of their way to help or help offer support. They're typically very generous with their time and their resources and emotional support. They desire to support people and uplift and nurture people, and they get a lot of satisfaction from seeing others thrive and succeed. However, just like all good things, if it's in an unhealthy balance, they can have overdependence on others' approval. They might seek too much validation or approval from others. They might often neglect their own needs and desire favoring or catering to the needs of others and put themselves at the end of the line. This can create feelings of resentment because if they're unrecognized or unappreciated, they may experience feelings of resentment towards those that they've helped. So there was a little bit of a condition to their help if they haven't taken account for that. And they can have struggles with overdependence on others' approval, which can lead to burnout because they always put needs of others in front of their own, and this creates exhaustion. There can be boundary issues where there's a difficulty setting boundaries and saying no to others' requests, which can lead to feelings of overwhelm and frustration. People who are a high two and an unhealthy mindset can oftentimes have an identity crisis, like differentiating their own identity from their role as a caregiver, which can be confusion and creates a confusion and a loss of self. So to maintain balance for a two that's struggling, we want to consider self-reflection on your own needs and desires, recognizing the importance of self-care and self-compassion, recognizing the need for setting boundaries, learning to set and prioritize your own well-being without feeling guilty or selfish. Seeking recognition, we need to communicate needs of recognition and appreciation to others, acknowledging your own worth independent of the approval of others. So that's an area of growth. Engaging in activities that promote self-care, self-expression, and hobbies that will nurture them, will nurture themselves to maintain healthy balance between giving and receiving support. So creating more balance there. Things to keep in mind when in relationship with a two or a helper is acknowledging their contributions and acts of kindness, expressing appreciation and gratitude, giving and reciprocity of the receiving of support, and giving them space to voice their own needs without guilt or obligation. Now we're going to talk about type three, the achiever. or the performer. This person's characterized by drive for success, recognition, and accomplishment. Healthy aspects of this type are that they're ambitious, they set goals, they're motivated to achieve success in their endeavors, they're adaptive, they can be flexible and navigate situations and challenges with ease. They have great leadership skills, they're inspiring and motivating, and they want others to excel. However, when they're unhealthy, just like all things, this can have some problems where perhaps they're overly competitive and view success as zero-sum game, where there's a need to outperform everyone else at all costs. They can be quite image conscious and need to have a certain image or persona and that external appearance rather than an inner authenticity. There can be a disconnection from an authentic self because they're so worried about how they look, and their worth is defined by this solely based on an external achievement and recognition rather than an internal sort of locus of control. They can struggle with an overemphasis on that external validation and a disconnection from authentic self. That can create burnout because the constant striving isn't healthy and it can lead to exhaustion. They also can struggle with shallow relationships because the appearance of how something needs to look is more important than the depth of authentic, deep intimacy. This can cause an identity crisis where they are uncertain about how they feel, who they are, and beyond their achievements and accolades, they're not quite sure. So in order for a three to be in balance, they need self-reflection, what brings them fulfillment beyond personal or beyond external achievements, focusing on authenticity so that they can stay true to themselves in the face of external pressure. Recognizing inner validation is a goal to strive towards and go on a journey of self-discovery for personal growth. Threes that are in struggle need to engage in activities that foster self-awareness, inner fulfillment, mindfulness practice, journaling, etc., so that they can reconnect with their authentic selves and find deeper satisfaction beyond that external achievement or accomplishment. So things to keep in mind when dealing with a three: recognition of accomplishments, that opportunities for growth and advancement need to be expressed, balance between work and personal life, and authentic connections based on genuine emotion rather than superficiality. Now we're going to talk about number four, the individualist or the romantic. They are characterized by creativity, introspection, and appreciation for authenticity. So when healthy, a four is creative. They have a rich inner world drawn to creative expression through art, music, writing, and other forms of self-expression. Quite sensitive, they're deeply attuned to emotions and the emotions of others, and they're able to empathize and connect on a deeply profound level. They have appreciation for beauty and meaning. They keep an eye out for beauty in all forms, and they can seek meaning and depth in their experiences and relationships. However, when operating from an unhealthy mindset, fours can exhibit self-absorption, overly focused on their own emotions and experience, and lose sight of the needs and perspectives of others. They can experience a lot of melancholy, dwelling on feelings of sadness or longing or dissatisfaction, whereas they romanticize their pain and struggling over finding joy in everyday life. They might struggle with envy or victimhood and compare themselves to others and envy those who seem like they have what they lack. And struggles with self-absorption can create isolation where they're withdrawn from others and feel misunderstood, causing potential depression where there's dwelling of sadness or dissatisfaction, create stagnation where people feel stuck or not able to move forward in their personal growth. So to maintain balance for a four, one should consider self-compassion, practicing acceptance of emotions and recognizing that it's okay to feel deeply and also ask for support when you need. Practice gratitude, which is a practice, it's not a natural state, so that the beauty that's present and the meaning in their lives is present, can be focused on rather than on what they lack. Connection seeking, so having and appreciating, validating others' experiences, the unique experiences that we all bring to foster a sense of belonging and understanding. Engaging in activities that nurture creativity is really important for a four to keep in mind in order to achieve balance. Things to keep in mind when you're in a relationship with a four is that we want to validate their emotions and unique perspectives, give them space for creative expression and self-discovery, engage in deep, meaningful conversations that explore an inner world rather than surface, and acceptance and appreciation for authenticity. Now we're going to talk about number five, the investigator or the observer. These people have a deep thirst for knowledge, understanding, and independence. When healthy, they possess a lot of wisdom and depth of knowledge and insight, often becoming expert in areas of their interest through a lot of research and analysis. They have great intellectual curiosity, naturally exploring complex ideas and theories and systems, and they're always seeking to expand understanding of the world. There's a lot of self-sufficiency. They value autonomy and prefer to rely on themselves for problem solving and decision making. They feel confident in their ability to navigate challenges independently. However, when operating from an unhealthy mindset, they can end up in a lot of isolation or withdraw from social interactions and relationships, kind of preferring that solitude, emotional detachment, which can become overly detached from emotions while intellectualizing their feelings and focusing solely on rationality and logic, which is not a full embodied human existence. And when that happens, they can experience overwhelm, which the information overload and existential anxiety, feeling overwhelmed by the complexity and uncertainty of the world can cause someone to retreat further into isolation as a means of coping. And then, of course, that isolation and emotional detachment can lead to loneliness and feeling misunderstood and longing for connection. Perhaps depersonalization, like they're so focused on the intellectual pursuits, they lose touch with a sense of self and are feeling disconnected from their own emotions, desires, and identity. This can create burnout, which is caused by pushing themselves to a point of exhaustion, striving for mastery or perfection in a chosen field and neglecting their own physical and emotional well-being in the process. So a person who's a five needs to try to keep balance by setting boundaries, mindfulness practices in order to find sense of self and grounding in self-awareness. Seeking support, so reaching out to trusted friends and family members when they realize they're overwhelmed, isolated, because the importance of human connection is so essential for all of us. Cultivating balance between intellectual and pursuits that are emotional and well-being in relationships, because the value of both rationality and intuition can help maintain balance. When interacting with a person who's a five, the investigator, we want to respect need for privacy and personal space, recognize they need intellectual stimulation and opportunities for learning, set clear boundaries and autonomy in decision-making, trust and understanding of their need for independence. So these are things to keep in mind. Now we're going to talk about type six. This is the loyalist or the skeptic. This person is characterized by needing scrutiny. Now we're going to talk about the six, the loyalist or the skeptic. This person is characterized by a need for security, guidance, support, and they're driven by a desire to feel safe and protected in an unpredictable world. Healthy aspects of a six include loyalty. They're deeply committed to their relationships and beliefs, and they're serving as reliable and trustworthy allies for those that they care about. They have a lot of courage despite fears or uncertainties. They demonstrate resilience and bravery when facing challenges, and they stand up for what they believe is right. They have a strength for discernment. They possess a sense of the ability to evaluate situations and people with a critical eye. They're able to distinguish between genuine threats and false alarms. However, when they operate from an unhealthy state, they can exhibit a lot of anxiety, a heightened sense of fear or anticipating potential dangers or catastrophes, and struggle to find a sense of inner peace or security. They could be indecisive, sometimes becoming paralyzed by indecision and second-guessing themselves, and need reassurance by those around them to help quell that anxiety. They might be overly dependent and rely heavily on authority figures or external resources to validate their feelings because they're unable to trust their own sense of judgment or sense of self. They might struggle with anxiety or indecisiveness, and that can lead to overwhelm.
constantly worrying and struggling to find a sense of stability amidst the chaos of their own thoughts and fears. Paranoia can be a problem because they might be hypervigilant or distrustful of others, seeing threats or dangers where none exist. And they can interpret innocent actions or statements as potential betrayals or manipulations. They might have avoidance or avoid taking risks because they're always making decisions, opting for safety or familiarity rather than trying new things or stepping outside of their comfort zone. In order for a six to maintain balance, they need to have activities like building self-trust, mindfulness practices so they can be present in a sense of self, seeking reassurance. They need to get support from people that they trust or family members so that they can help discharge some of their overwhelm or uncertainty. And things to keep in mind with a six is that they might need reassurance of their loyalty and their commitment. They like consistency and reliability in relationships. They value open communication about fears or insecurities. And of course, supportive encouragement to face challenges with courage. Now we're going to talk about type seven. This is the enthusiast or the epicure. These people embody a zest for life, for adventure, new experiences, and are driven by a desire to avoid pain and seek out pleasure and excitement. Healthy states, sevens, they exhibit a lot of joy. They radiate enthusiasm and delight with simple pleasures, and they embrace each moment with wonder and appreciation. They're often creative, and they have a fertile imagination. They're ripe with innovation, and they generate new ideas and possibilities. They're quite optimistic and have great outlooks on life, seeing challenges as opportunities for growth and transformation. And they're kind of refuse to be bogged down by negativity or pessimism. However, when unhealthy, they can be restless. They can feel constantly a need to seek out something new and have distractions in that futile attempt to escape from underlying feelings of emptiness or dissatisfaction. They can be scattered and struggle to focus or commit to long-term goals. They can have a little bit of escapism and resort to addictive behaviors or substance use or abuse to numb their emotions or avoid uncomfortable truths, or use external stimulus to avoid or to fill a void within themselves. Things that are challenging with that restlessness can be shallow connections because of avoidance of deep and meaningful connection, kind of impulsivity where they could be reckless, making decisions based on immediate gratification rather than considering a long-term consequence. Emotional avoidance, so facing uncomfortable truths about themselves can be challenging, and living in a little bit of denial can be part of it. In order to have balance as a seven, they need to consider mindfulness practices. Are we hearing a trend here? Having emotional awareness, developing greater awareness for acceptance of emotions, and learning to sit with discomfort helps to avoid the seeking or escapism patterns that can happen. Recognizing healthy boundaries are important. Setting boundaries around time, energy, learning to say no to excessive commitments or distractions are important to prioritize self-care and self-reflection. An enthusiast will want spontaneous and adventure and activities to stimulate their curiosity. So these are things to keep in mind. Having flexibility and adaptability to accommodate ever-changing interests is important. Encouragement to stay grounded and present and movement. Encouragement to stay grounded in the present moment is important. And mutual understanding that their need for freedom and exploration is important for them. So we want to not judge that. So those are things that are important to keep in mind when dealing with a seven. Now we're going to talk about an eight. This is the challenger or the protector. These people are characterized by strength, assertiveness, and a desire for control, driven by a deep-seated need to protect themselves and those that they care about from harm. Healthy eights exhibit courage. They have a spirit of unwavering courage, fearlessly confronting challenges, standing up for what they believe is right, and even in the face of adversity or opposition. They are not super conflict avoidant. They have tremendous resilience and demonstrate remarkable tenacity. They bounce back from setbacks and hardships with grace and determination, and they don't show a lot of defeat when life presents them obstacles. They can be tremendously loyal, and they're loyal to values, principles, and loved ones, and they defend those they care about by standing up for them through thick and thin. However, when unhealthy, an eight can be domineering. They can become overly controlling. They can use their strength and assertiveness to overpower others and impose their will on others, regardless of the needs or wishes of the person they're dealing with. They can be considered confrontational and resort to aggression or hostility as a means of asserting dominance or protecting themselves from a perception of threat, which can lead to conflicts and power struggles in relationships. They can avoid vulnerability and struggle to acknowledge or express their own emotions or needs because they're afraid that if they do so, they'll be perceived as weak or inadequate. So then they can develop a defensive posture so that they can be perceived as strength and invulnerable, which of course is not a true thing. Challenges with this domination or dominance and aggression can lead to isolation because people don't want to be in relationship with someone like that. Constrain relationships because their need to control or dominate creates power imbalances and undermines trust and intimacy, which creates conflict. Emotional suppression, which is not good for relationships, nor is it good for our health, because they might view vulnerability as weakness, and they want to have an outward facade of strength and invulnerability at the expense of their own well-being. To have balance as an eight, they need to consider vulnerability and self-awareness and recognizing that openness to their emotional experience is part of what's healthy, perhaps seeking support from trusted friends or loved ones when they need to. Developing empathy and understanding for the perspectives and experiences of others and recognizing that true strength lies not in dominance or control, but in compassion and connection. It's important to self-reflect, engaging in regular introspection and really getting curious about underlying motivations and beliefs that drive the challenging or rigid or limiting patterns that might be holding them back from experiencing freedom and fulfillment. Things to keep in mind when dealing with a challenger are direct communication and honesty is valuable for them, even if it's challenging. Respect for their strength and independence and recognition that they have good leadership qualities and capabilities. We want to help make room for vulnerability and encourage that and emotional expression without judgment. Now we're going to talk about nine, the peacemaker or the mediator. This person's characterized by a deep desire for inner peace and outer peace, harmony, tranquility, and avoidance of conflict. They prioritize the needs and desires of others above their own to avoid conflict and to maintain a sense of equilibrium. And when they're healthy, they have a lot of patience. They have a lot of capacity for tolerance and navigating challenging situations with grace and equanimity, and they don't get rattled by the adversity or conflict. They have tremendous empathy, a keen sense of understanding for the perspectives and feelings of others, fostering connections with and building bridges between people with their compassionate, inclusive approach. They're great with conflict resolution and excel at mediation and are adept at finding common ground and facilitating compromise in tense or contentious situations. So they promote understanding and reconciliation. However, if they're in an unhealthy state, they can become passive aggressive because remember, they're conflict avoidant. So they keep it stewing, they keep it on the inside, and that's not healthy for communication. They avoid direct confrontation, and so that can be problematic. They can be stuck with complacency. So they're apathetic because they lose sight of their own desire or goals in favor of maintaining status quo or preserving a sense of peace or harmony. But it is a false sense of peace or harmony because they're not addressing their own emotional experiences. They can be avoidant because they don't want uncomfortable situations or conversations at the expense of the peace in the relationship. So they can have inner turmoil. There can be challenges associated with passive aggressive and avoidance because there can be stagnation and lacking in meaningful progress or pursuing of their own goals and aspirations because they're increasingly resigned to a life of mediocrity or unfulfilled potential because of the cost of peace. And of course, it's creating a war inside of them, this stagnation. They can be fraught with resentment because they have deep-seated feelings of bitterness towards others stemming from their own inability to assert themselves or advocate for their own needs, which can create a lot of buildup or tension and conflict in their relationships. They can succumb to emotional numbing, suppressing their own true feelings and needs in order to maintain that facade of peace and harmony, which creates disconnection from their authentic selves and a sense of inner emptiness. So to have a sense of awareness and self-empowerment, nines or peacekeepers need to work on self-assertion and communication in assertive ways, moving through fear of conflict or rejection. They need to embrace boundary setting and recognizing their limits in relationships and interactions while honoring their own needs and priorities. Recognizing self-exploration is important and diving into their own inner world to uncover their fears and insecurities about disconnection, which drives the keeping what they feel and need in is that fear of disconnection. To keep in mind with nines or peacemakers, we want to know that they need a peaceful and harmonious environment. So they might be shutting down if that stops happening. We want to encourage expressing their opinions and desires. So if you're in relationship with a peacemaker, you want to check in with them and say, hey, what's happening for you? Because they won't often just speak up to do it. We want to validate their needs for relaxation and downtime, and offer active listening and validation of their perspectives when they do speak up, especially in conflicts. So that's an overview of the Enneagram assessment. It offers a rich tapestry of personality types, talking about each person's strengths and weaknesses when unhealthy. We can understand our own Enneagram type and embrace both our healthy and our unhealthy aspects. And then we can embark on a journey of self-awareness and growth, which ultimately can be transformative. A resource I like to learn more about your Enneagram is from the Enneagram Institute. I think it's $12 and you can get a nice thorough assessment for yourself. There are other free resources out there on the internet, but I really like that one because you can dig into your relationships and how people in different realms or different types of personality relate to one another. And there's just a lot of cool digging in that you can do. So I hope that you enjoy some exploration of self with the Enneagram assessment. Thank you so much for tuning in to our show today. And I hope that it shed light on this world and gave you some valuable insights into our human psyche. So until next time, remember to embrace your uniqueness and don't forget to lead with love. It'll never steer you wrong.